Okay, now, so you have some more things to say now about approaching galleries?
Approaching galleries. The first thing I've noticed from artists is an artist might be a fan of a gallery that might not necessarily show their work.
Mm-hmm.
But because they're a fan and they love that gallery, they want that gallery to show their work.
Mm-hmm.
You have to investigate the galleries that might possibly show your work.
Mm-hmm.
You can't take abstract to a pop surrealism gallery.
Mm-hmm.
It just doesn't work.
Mm-hmm.
And then sometimes, you know, even here at ThinkSpace, an artist will walk in with abstract and want to show here. And I'm like, have you ever been to our website? Have you investigated us at all?
So they should do a bit of research about where they're going before they go there.
Yeah, just go and, you know, and if you're living in L.A., you do abstract art, L.A. Abstract Art Gallery.
Right, Google.
Mm-hmm. And just figure that out. And then the second thing is go to those art shows.
Mm-hmm.
Try to establish a relationship with some people. You know, rub some elbows.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes artists just feel like, I'm good, you show abstract, my abstract is the best abstract in the world, and you should show it so we can make money. If you have no selling history,
yeah,
why should we even take a chance on that?
Right, because you just don't know.
The overhead in a gallery, even on a small gallery, is $5,000 a month.
Yeah.
$5,000 a month, so it's like we have to make sure that the art that we show here, we have the best chance
mm-hmm.
at paying that rent.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of times, you know, artists will walk in with a 10-foot by 20-foot abstract painting, and they want to show it in a gallery that doesn't show abstract. So, yeah, research the galleries, frequent the galleries, go to their art opening, make sure you're researching you belong there.
Mm-hmm. And once you know you belong there, or at least have a pretty good feeling about it, what do you do then?
You find out when that gallery's group shows are happening,
mm-hmm.
and if you can submit work for it.
Mm-hmm.
Don't ask for a solo show. Don't walk in a gallery and go, I got 40 paintings, and, you know, I'm looking for somewhere to show them all. If you have not sold a painting in the last year or the last 6 months, it's really going to be hard for you to even get a four-person show.
Mm-hmm.
So the first thing you want to do is ask, when is the gallery's group show, and do they have a chance of getting some artwork in, and what is the submission guideline?
Mm-hmm.
When you get in that group show, and if you do get in that group show, price your work low enough so it sells. At the end of the show, what's going to be remembered is the artist that sold in that group show.
Mm-hmm.
And those are the artists that will be invited back
mm-hmm.
to do other group shows. That's when the gallery is now calling you.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what you want to do. So the first group shows you do, sell low to try to get into that gallery's Rolodex. If that painting is worth $1,000 and you sell it for $400 and you go home with $200, what you lost in money will be made up in the fact that this gallery owner knows who you are and now you're in their Rolodex. You're in their file. And you might show there again next year. Or another time this year, depending on how many group shows. But they're going to call you back because they invited you and they liked your work and it sold.
Mm-hmm.
And if your prices are reasonable, that's a reason to call you back. They know they have a chance to help you grow your prices.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of times we judge artists on sanity and insanity according to their prices.
Really?
Yeah. If they walk in and they go, hey, you know, what galleries have you shown at last year? But well, I haven't shown in like 2 years. And it's like, okay, that's cool, so you're getting started. So what would you price this piece at? Oh, well, I want $8,000 for it. And it's like, you haven't sold a painting for $1 in the last 2 years.
Right, so how are you going to start there?
So how can you even get $100?
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, you know what, you're going to have a hard time with that.
Right.
I put a lot of time in it. You know what, everything. Mm-hmm. There's a lot of time putting everything. A visor. If it's a sun visor, there's still someone that has to sit down and make that of some quality and box it, ship it somewhere, someone has to price it, put it on the rack, and it's a $7 visor.
Mm-hmm.
Everything.
Mm-hmm.
Matches, ink pens, paper clips.
Yeah.
It's a lot of work.
It's not just the work, you've got to build a reputation, too.
And that's it. And if you even sell a paper clip, unless you have established some sort of reputation for this book. There's plenty of other people out there selling paper clips.
That's true.
You go to 99-cent store.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? So the thing is, understand you are in a very competitive market. And in the last 5 years, because there's been so much success from underground artists, it's getting saturated.
Mm-hmm.
And the only thing that's going to survive is the people who have a balance between their sanity and their talent.
Mm-hmm.
Do not let your talent guide you.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm going to give you a little piece of, like, television philosophy. Frito-Lay said, go ahead and eat them, we'll make more. You're going to make art until you're cold in the ground.
Mm-hmm.
So why hold on to anything? Just gradually grow your prices.
Keep it moving.
This price to start your work at, if it's under, you know, 11 by 17, it's $200.
Mm-hmm.
Just start there. You sell 4 pieces at 200, raise it up to 250.
Mm-hmm.
You sell another 4 pieces at 250, then raise it up to 350.
Mm-hmm.
But set a guideline. Don't raise your prices every time you sell a piece.
You know, when the artist comes in, they identify a gallery and say they've identified it properly, right?
Mm-hmm.
They have a certain kind of art that the gallery will reasonably want to work with.
Mm-hmm.
What kinds of questions can they expect from the gallery owners?
First of all, the gallery owners aren't going to talk to you.
Mm-hmm.
The only thing that represents you is your email or your portfolio. So you're not there to defend it.
Okay.
So when they open up that portfolio, and they look at that piece, and they love it. And they sold hundreds of pieces of work, and they can look at it, know your unknown artist, and put a price on it. They look and go, oh, what's the size? Oh, wow, yeah. Starting off, yeah, that's about $800.
Mm-hmm.
If they look at your price and it says anything above $2,000,
mm-hmm.
they're done with you. They're not even going to look at any more work.
They just won't even start.
No. Why? You know what I'm saying? It's like, who has time for that? They got stacks of portfolios, and this guy is insane.
Mm-hmm.
So let's look at someone else.
Mm-hmm.
And they look at someone else who artwork, they look at it and know it's worth $2,000. When they look at the person's price, it's $800.
Mm-hmm.
They're like, okay, let's call them back and give them a shot.
Because you can work with them.
Yes.
Right.
You know that you're not going to have this struggle of ego.
Right.
They're like, I don't want to talk to you about how to do this.
Right.
And I don't want to argue with you about it.
Mm-hmm.
You, if you research your galleries, you can see the art they show, the prices it's selling at, and know that those artists are already somewhat established. You can look at that and figure out how to price your work. You can't even price your work even close to someone that's already showing if you're not showing in galleries.
Mm-hmm.
So if you see some art that's like yours, talent level, because artists can figure that out, and they're in the gallery and they're selling their work at $800, yeah, you're at $200.
Mm-hmm.
Just starting off, same talent level, yeah, $200. You can't look at that person's artwork and go, hey, I'm just as good as that person. My work is worth $800 too. That person might have already sold about 20 pieces in the last year.
Mm-hmm.
They've already been in like 6 or 7 group shows where they sold 2 pieces every group show.
Mm-hmm.
They already got a selling history. And as a business person and a person that understands capitalism, we will check your selling history.
Mm-hmm.
We will check your viewing history.
Mm-hmm.
So even if you haven't sold a lot of art, but we see like, wow, you show here, 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 and here, we know that those galleries believe in you enough, and we believe in you, and maybe this is the gallery for you, and those other galleries wasn't.
Mm-hmm. So practical issues matter probably more than anything else.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes, I mean, there's artists that we started working with, and we might sell their work really slow.
Mm-hmm.
It might be a hard sell, and then they'll go to another gallery where that gallery is just moving their work.
Mm-hmm.
Just crazy prices we couldn't move it at.
Mm-hmm.
Like, wow, we could even sell a piece for him at $1,200. Like that gallery's moving them at
$35.
Wow. So that's the home for you. You know what I'm saying? It might not necessarily be this place, but this place got you the visibility for another gallery
mm-hmm.
to call you.
Mm-hmm.
So your artwork is on its soul's journey, and it's just going to do its thing.
Right.
And, you know, one thing leads to another, and it's never what you expect. So let it go. Just do the work. Talk to people. Don't be offended by prices. If a gallery owner tells you, where your prices should start. If you think your work is worth $1,500 and the guy right first thing like, yeah, let's start that at $400. Don't be offended by that. We know what our market is.
Mm-hmm.
We know what the collectors, you know, are looking for. We know what it takes to start. So it's not a, there's no offense to you. We're talking from straight from a point of capitalism.
Mm-hmm.
Like, no one knows who you are.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so you have to come up with some sort of deal that's special or something. Like, if you invented, you know, plum-flavored ribs, how you're just not going to get people to fall in line for this.
No.
You have to figure out some way to sell this and make it special. Like, yeah, 12 flavored ribs today, special, $2. You get four sides and a large drink. You might go,
I'll try it.
And it better be good.
And if it's good, then next time it costs a little bit more and you get it.
There it is.
Right.
You're telling your friends now.
Yeah.
Like, I'll just have some 12 flavored ribs. They're like, what? That sounds terrible. Hold on. Before you get it, and you got people selling your work for
right.
you, you know, selling it for you.
You got to take the long view and look at your career rather than the one-time sale.
Like stocks.
Mm-hmm.
You lowering your price is pretty much you investing in stocks in yourself.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? It's like people want to buy low, and then it grows over time. Like this painting's I own, that's been $200 on now. That is easily worth like over $2,000.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm proud of that because like, I seen it low. I knew that was a challenge.
Mm-hmm.
I dropped my little 200. I did an artist named Sylvia G. I bought her very first painting when she came to LA. Spent $250 on it. And I got the, I didn't even spend any of my money. I traded it for DJ services.
And you're still talking about her.
And now she show at major galleries.
Uh-huh.
And the piece I have is about 2 feet by 2 feet. I spent $250. Now 2 feet by 2 feet go for about $3,800.
Mhm, mhm. And you're a good publicity for her.
And me buying the piece might have started someone else to buy it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they looked at the window, I really like it. I bought mine for them. I was like, oh, I'm gonna get another one.
Mm-hmm.
I'm gonna get one of her pieces. And all of a sudden, there's three pieces sold out of five.
Mhm. And it's moving.
Yes.
Right.
You got any questions, let me know.